We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Amen. I made a declaration to you a while back. Half of you don't care. Some of you couldn't be bothered. But last night, some of you were saying, that's the end for Liverpool. And what happened 5 minutes before the end? It's not the end. Anyway, here we go. The world is unimpressed with my thoughts of Liverpool. The world is unimpressed with the church in general. I think in Wales, if we look across as a generalization, having lived in this nation now for almost 20 years, as I look across generally in this nation, I think people, the world is unimpressed with the church. Why is he unimpressed? Because our actions are not commanding attention or respect. Why should a world respect a people who don't truly respect their God? Why should a world look in and follow a people and say, I want to be a part of that, when actually what we declare is not what we walk out? Our wills and our musts, my I will and my I must, is so far apart they need to be reconciled. I will do this, I must do this. They've got to come closer. I want to do this and I'm going to do this. But how does a world look in? And we're not again a perfect people, but a people that are even in that moment with Gaza Shed is prepared to actually go and apologize and repent of what he's done afterwards to say, do you know what? I shouldn't have done that. Credibility. If the world looks in at us as a church, there should be an absolute wow or an absolute despise. I want to be a part. Actually, I can't stand to be a part of this. Our generation has the potential to live convinced of our calling, but the question is, will we? Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to run through this pretty quick, so if you haven't got time to take notes, the notes will be online for you in the next couple of days once I formalize them, because they're a bit of a mess at the moment. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 to 11 says, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. I feel like as a church, as Liberty Church, we are almost 4.5 years old. This first 5 years is what we've built and established together. God has had his hand on it. We've laid foundations. But if you know anything about things that are being built, these next 5 years, we have to prepare for what is going to take place. And I feel like we're in this preparation moment. And so some of you tonight, as leaders of small groups, will come and gather around our home. We're going to share vision with you of what's going to take place. We're having a transition moment. There's not a start and a stop. It just doesn't work like that. And we just feel like new life is going to spring forth from some of these avenues. But it says in verse 11, it says, prepare your provisions. And it's right at the end of the verse. It says, the Lord your God is giving you to possess this land. Isn't it cool to walk into a place you already know that's yours? How incredible is that? Do you know that you can walk knowing that your days in front of you are greater than the ones behind you? Do you know that you can walk knowing that your inheritance is greater than what you think or can imagine right now? Do you know you can walk knowing that your future is secure? Do you know that no weapon formed against you will prosper? Do you know that fear has no place in you? Bible says, dwell on these things. Do you know that it doesn't have to rob you? Moon, I loved your testimony this morning. Do you know lies come to rob you, but the truth comes to set you free? Knowing the truth sets you free. If you're not free, you don't know the truth. It's simple, isn't it, really? So simple, the gospel. The genius of God is in his simplicity. But when we track the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness, the miracles were there to sustain them. But in the promised land, the miracles were there to advance them. And so I believe some of you are stepping over, and we're stepping over into a new place as a church, and the miracles aren't there just to sustain us and keep us going. They're actually now, as you step over into that place God wants you, they're actually called to advance you. How many of you want to be sitting in the same muck 5 years from now? Please raise your hand. No, same muck, Sue. I knew you didn't hear that right. How many of you want to be dealing with the same problems 5 years from now? Same emotions, same feelings. How many of you want to actually be pressing forward into the things of God? How many of you want to wear crowns of life? The Bible says there is a crown of life that you can put on. I met a guy the other week and he talked about his pornography addiction for 10 years. And he said to me, do you know what? I dealt with it. I brought it amongst people. I got prayed about it. I pressed through it. And I wear a crown of life now because of it. It's almost like God elevates you above it to look down on it. Almost thinking, why on earth was I captivated by something so small when I could live for something so big? And God wants to hand out crowns of life where you not just get through. Oh, God, we've just got to cope. No, we're called to conquer. And when we conquer, a conqueror, you think of somebody sat on top of a horse or somebody sat on a throne thinking, I've defeated, I am above this, my foot is on top of this, and I look down on this situation. Why? We need conquerors so that other people can be modeled to that they can conquer in this situation. Because you are the walking, talking Jesuses of this nation right now. That is us, the church. People should look at us and go, my gosh, they're a conquering bunch. Psalm 24, verse 1, and we sang about it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. Say to the person next to you, everything belongs to God. Say, tell them, say, you are God's. You might not like it. You might not think it's a good idea, but that is the reality. You were created by Him, designed by Him. I see people who don't know Jesus, and I think they just haven't just quite got a revelation that God created them. This family and this church, this kingdom is going to get bigger. But when we begin to steward our lives as the Bible calls us to steward, we unlock doors in our mind, our heart, and our will. It releases. And last week I started to touch on what it is to be a generous person, what it is to look at our giving from a financial perspective. I'm pleased that some of you have come back today. But won't you open your Bibles, and I'm just going to read two scriptures, and then we're going to journey through this for the next half hour. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10, and I haven't got time to go through it all, so please listen to last week's podcast. It said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house, and try me now. It's the only time in scripture that God sets out to almost prove Himself. Every other time He says, I am, this is it. No arguments about it. This is the deal. In this one moment, He says, you can try me. If you can test me. When Jesus says to the Pharisees, and they talk about the tithe, and the Pharisees talk about it, it's the one time Jesus says, and do what you are actually saying. Carry on with that of tithing, of bringing into the storehouse. The rest of the time, He pretty much cuts across the Pharisees all the time. It becomes a little bit of this kind of joke thing. What are the Pharisees going to come up with now? And what is Jesus going to say now? And you know He's going to come up with something else. But on this moment, He says, no, carry on doing that. I said to everybody last week, and I'll say to you again, God actually just wants your heart. That's what He wants. Because if He has your heart, the rest of it opens. When He's captured something in you, you can't but help surrender your life. We sang there. You know, I lift my hands, I surrender all. I can't remember the words right now. But it's like, God, I surrender all. That is everything. How can we sing a song like that and close off an area of our life? How? It just does. Again, that's that authentic of the world looks in and goes, but you're singing that. And then you're living like that. Knowingly. Not unknowingly. Knowingly. You see, the Bible says, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, when God sheds light on something, we have a choice to walk in the light or continue to walk in the darkness. So when the light comes and it sheds on a situation, and I will be the first to say, there are times when God shed light and He said, Heath, this is the thing you need to address. And I've chosen to step into the darkness. Why? Because I don't fully trust who God is. That is the end of the day. Not all God. No, I don't trust Him. That is growing. It grows in us. When people talk about a good father, you have all sorts of reactions to that. Sometimes father's the hardest thing for you to get over because I don't know what your dad was like. And we say men are, don't carry anything. No, men, you carry affirmation. You carry authority. Not to lord, but actually to love and lead well in this generation. And try me now, verse 10, this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be room enough to receive it. Do you know, how do we expect something to flow from us when there's nothing flowing through us? We won't go into that example when we get unwell. But open heavens include blessing. God wants to pour out blessing through you. He wants this church to be a base church pouring out blessing to nations. Church, the impact of a church is not dependent on its size. I think one of the key things is dependent on its unity. And unity is not sitting in a room. Unity is hearts together saying, we will and we must do this. What are we called to do? We must do this. Luke chapter 6, and if you'll flick there with me to verse 10, and I tied these two scriptures. It says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. I think as a nation, as a people, even in the church, we don't want to be in hidden places where God works on us. We actually want to be exposed to, well, God, use me now. I've done 3 months of heart journeys. Now it's my time to come out and let everybody see what I'm about. Actually, no, God wants to keep us sometimes in the secret places for a time. Joseph's journey was 22 years. In places that he never put himself in. Maybe you argue he said he shouldn't have shouted his mouth off. But there's the secret places God wants to prepare us in so that actually there's a maximum fruit and a maximum impact for us. Sometimes we want to expose ourselves too soon. And we're not willing to go through the hard work of the heart. Most time I see leaders bail and fail is because they're not willing to deal with the heart. And they're so concerned that their platform is going to go. Sometimes as leaders, we've actually got to walk away for God to deal with our marriages, our hearts. And this is not just leaders, this is people. And actually, if that is meant to stand off in the church, it'll stay. And if it's not, it maybe its season is done or it should have never been there in the first place. But we have to allow ourselves. But one who is faithful with much is faithful. One who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much. And one who is dishonest with very little is also dishonest with very much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, mammon, who will entrust you with true riches? I think around this area of giving, God says, hey, you're going to be faithful with what I've given you? Are you going to steward this well? Because we all want more. Honestly, if I asked you, what do you want? We all probably want more time, more money, more stuff. If I could just have one more thing. It's interesting what comes in. I've been on this journey of this great discovery of noise-canceling headphones. I think it's amazing. You know, you don't have to then say, dear, I wasn't listening. You just can't hear them anymore. Your kids are screaming and like Leah's maybe talking. I just can't hear anything because I'm stuck in the worship of the Lord, you know. That's my justification. And all of a sudden, I begin this journey. I think, how much do I value noise-canceling headphones? It's a ridiculous example, you know, but I'm justifying it in my head. I think, okay, let me begin at a reasonable price, £150. So I'm there sitting at 150 quid. And then I walk into Apple, just by the way, and other places, and they are £260. I'm thinking, how much do I value? Now, some of you are going, that is ridiculous, Heath. I guarantee you I could come into your life and find things that cost hundreds of pounds that you are passionate about. Just because noise-canceling headphones are not what you're passionate about. You may be passionate about statues, or you may be passionate about cars, or you may be passionate about trainers. I've discovered I'm a trainer and a bag man. The other day, I bought another bag. Leah said to me, she said, do you know what? You've got to go through your bags and get rid of some of them. When have you ever heard that statement said to a man? I said to her, what about your shoes? And she opened my cupboard, and what about your shoes? I often tell people my trainers last at least 10 years. That's only because I wear them once every 6 months. You know, they kind of, so they do last 10 years. But there I am. Eventually, I ended up, and I'm on these reviews. I'm talking to Rich. Rich, which ones are the better ones? Which ones? And Rich is showing me these different ones. And in my heart, I'm like, I don't want to buy rubbish. And then I think, oh, I'll buy from Amazon because I can send it back straight away if I don't like it. And suddenly, I felt the Holy Spirit say, is this really that important? No, it is. It's really, I want to hear from you, Lord. I want to cancel the other noises out. See, we justify. How are we going to steward? I ended up with a $39.99 pair, so it's rest easy there. But you know what? They're like the 200-pound pair. They still cancel the noise. But God says there, if we're not faithful, and if you have not been faithful in which in which is another one's, who will give you which is your own. God's saying, if you can't be faithful what I've given you, how can I give you things to actually properly steward over? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one or love the other. This is linked, I honestly believe this is linked to spiritual breakthrough. What we do with the physical things God has given us, it is linked to spiritual breakthrough. I'm not saying you can buy things from God. I'm not saying if you do this in a certain way, God, I'm going to buy your generosity, I'm going to buy. But I am saying that true generosity and stewardship does bring breakthrough. When we decide to be generous, to steward things well, all of a sudden breakthrough comes. We had a testimony this past week. Somebody decided, based on what they heard, they said, you know what? Actually, I am convinced, not just convicted, I'm convinced that I've got to be regular in my giving. I've got to sow systematically. I've got to sow in a way, and I'm going to do that, but I can't afford to do that in that way. That person made this decision. They turned up at the job next day. They get a promotion, and what they've received is going to be more than they even want to give. Now, you don't tell me that that is not the hand of God. It doesn't work like that for everybody. I know that. We're not preaching prosperity and money, but we are preaching a prosperity gospel because you're saved, healed. God has set you free. If that's not prosperous enough for you, I don't know really what is. But I want to talk a little bit, narrowing it down in the next 20 minutes into the tithe. The tithe means one-tenth. I said this last week. I also said you cannot outgive the Lord. You can't outgive God. God is inviting you into a partnership where natural obedience brings spiritual release. Let me say that again. God is inviting you into a partnership where natural obedience brings spiritual release. Jesus highlights, how can he trust us with our own if we're not faithful with someone else's? Do you know what? As the church, as leaders of the church, if you're a leader and you want to be a leader, you know, we are actually looking after another man's wife when we look after the church, because this is Jesus' bride. How we treat the church, we're treating another man's wife. Man, let that drop in us. God, when I lead, I know one day this is not my church, this is your church. Let me honor you with it. Let me look after it well, so that when it's presented to you, it's a beautiful bride. Almost, God, make me a eunuch for you so I don't abuse your church. I don't want to abuse your church, Jesus. But Jesus highlights, how can we trust you with our own if you're not faithful with someone else's? And through testimony and through scripture, I've seen that what actually belongs to God belongs to God. Building on his lordship, things will stand, whatever realm you're in. Building on something else, you're entering shaky ground. Jesus' lordship, building on that, is transferable to any culture. We planted the church in Nepal. One of the key things we saw when we went to some of these nations is the first thing that often happens is they come out and they share their, people share their vision with you, and they look at you and you come from the West and they say, you are the provision for the vision. And suddenly there's this thing of, I want 100% of the provision from you, Liberty Church, in order for us to run a church in Nepal. Not once did the couple planting ask us for finance. Not once did they say, you're the provider for us. They actually went and sought and believed God for things. And we're just bringing a portion to the table, not at all. You see, you got to see what people are doing in their hearts and they're faithful. When people are in a tough moment and maybe they're in debt and things like that, let me give you maybe a bit of wisdom here. When I've been going through tough times, or other families go through tough times, I don't just want to feed somebody cash all the time to get them out of it. There are moments that you need to do that. But actually, what I really want to do is sit down and help them steward their way out of that moment. Because otherwise, you will maybe feed something that they actually don't know how to walk out of themselves. It's really important. I think most moments are teaching moments. Here's the statistic. I'll just do it broadly. Most British Christians do not tithe. Here's the three big reasons. Why don't we tithe? Simply because, number one, we've never been taught. Number two, there's a misunderstanding of God's law, in the place of God's law in the Bible. We talked about it last week, and I don't have time to go in it. The tithe was established before the law through Abraham. People say, well, you know, was it a mistake? No, just read your word. The Holy Spirit established it through him. Tithing will not save you. It will not get you to heaven. It sometimes won't even help you if you think you're doing it to help you. If you're doing it, it might even hurt you in that case, because you think this is my way of getting closer to Jesus. You can be a tither and not know Jesus. You can never tithe and still go to heaven. Not fair, you say. I didn't write it. God did. But when we go back to Abraham, we see the Holy Spirit revealed to him. He was the first person that the gospel was preached to Abraham. It's the one place we come to when we look at his life that we see actually that we can base our theology and who we are meant to be walking as. Abraham was God's friend because of faith, not because of stuff he did. If you want to flick over to another side of giving or why people don't give, simply because they refuse to do so. They absolutely. Some are convinced. Others don't want to be convinced. They decide to not break this backbone of greed, which causes disunity. Because where there is unity, God commands a blessing. But where there's no unity, we're not blessed. I want to touch on a couple of things now as we bring this down. But I want to just touch on legalism and feelings. Probably the one time I should have had all the slides up on, I haven't. But I really want you to go and wrestle with this. I'm not telling you, I'm inviting you. I'm not trying to convince you, you need to be convinced. But if you are part, if you are saved and you are part of this family, then I do think this is part of who we are. It says it on those forms when you first said, I want to be a part of this family. But legalism and feelings, let's touch on that. We get into the concern that we get legalistic about the tithe. We don't get too concerned about legalism around salvation, though. We're quite happy that there's one way to Jesus. And we're quite happy to keep repeating that. We don't think that's legalistic. But Galatians 5:8 says, if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. There's a song we used to sing many years ago. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'll pray. Some of you may know it. So when we don't feel Him moving, we don't pray. Most of my praying is not when I feel like it. I don't know about you. But some mornings I have to drive myself to my knees and say, I'm going to pray. But we like to whip out these scriptures. Sometimes the morning the alarm goes off or it doesn't go off. The other morning it went off and I was like, I cannot believe I actually hit the alarm this morning. I looked at Leah so beautifully snuggled up and I thought, what do I choose? To snuggle in, which I don't know if she would have appreciated, or to actually get up, walk down those stairs, open my Bible, use my noise-canceling headphones, worship, and get on my knees and pray. It's a choice. Did I feel like it? Not really. Did I feel led to do it? Not really, at all. But 2 Timothy 4 says this, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Especially around finance, we find what we like and we stick with that. And I'll show you how in a minute. 2 Corinthians 9. I love this scripture. Cheerful giving. Cheerful giving. God, I want to be a cheerful giver. Do you know what? I'm cheerful about £1. I'm cheerful about £1. £100, I'm not so cheerful about. When I put this in the offering, I'm pumped about it. Why? Because it doesn't cause me any discomfort or concern. It doesn't cause me any stretching. Cheerful giving, I've come to learn this, comes increasingly as we know what we have been given for us. When we realize what has been given for us, my giving increases cheerfully. When I stand there and I think I've got to do something else for my children. Really, I just want to relax, kids. Then I realize what God has done for me. What has my Father done for me? And there's the more that is deposited in our heart. It's like prayer. Do we pray for the amount of time that makes us happy? Let's do a survey. After 5 minutes of prayer, how is your happiness levels? Some of people won't come to the prayer meeting because it's 45 minutes. By 22, I'm done. I'm not happy anymore. Finished. I'm out of happiness. I don't want to do this anymore. Is that what we do? God, I'm coming in this place and I'm going to pray for so long. And then when I'm not happy more, what would you prefer to do? What makes you happy? Sleep? God, I'm in a great place because I'm sleeping all the time. God, I'm in a great place because I'm hitting the gym all the time. God, I'm in a great place. When we do the things we want to do, then I'm happy. The world says, be happy. Do whatever you want and be happy. We're not called to be happy. We're called to have the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. But it's the same principle in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is a wife's dream verse. Yesterday, when Phil was teaching it, yesterday at the blessing and that, I was absolutely waiting for all the women to go, amen! Because like, yes, if you get this right. But let's be honest and open about this. Married men, do you always feel like loving that absolute beauty of a woman sitting next to you? Or some of you thinking they're not sitting next to you right now. Not always, hey. Sometimes we're not so keen. We don't feel like it, but God calls us to, this is what we're called to do. Phil said yesterday, and if you have an issue, go talk to him. Regardless of my feelings, regardless of what my emotions are saying, I'm called to love. My mood, my emotions, my circumstances should not stop me loving this gift of a lady, Leah, to me. 2 Corinthians 9:8, or just before that, God loves a cheerful giver. How are you going to give into your marriage when you're only happy? Watch verse 8, though. It says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every work. God is going to empower you to walk in a place of actually sowing and giving with a joy, of actually sowing and blessing with an absolute joy, of being cheerful when you do it. I can honestly say from the first time that I said, Lord, I want to establish in my life. I think I was a young lad, and I remember establishing it with my first paycheck again at 14 years old. I absolutely find it a joy when I look on that bank account and what we have decided, and our tithe is our floor, not our ceiling. It's an absolute floor for me and Leah. And it goes out, and I think, man, that is to bless. That is to bless. Some people say, well, you should thank God because you're actually paying some of your own salary. I think, no, it's to bless. It's interesting what people think, isn't it? It really is. Another point just around this is freedom from and freedom for. We often think it's about, we've got to be free from the law. Watch this in Matthew 11:29-30. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Free from that to actually take on something else. We don't sit under the law anymore, but we do sit under a yoke of Jesus. It's not free to do whatever we want to do. It's actually to run according to what God has called us to run. And he says, if we sit under his yoke, do you know what to do? He's going to provide us with rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why should, and I'm gonna land this now, and thank you for just plugging in. There will be more notes online because I can't get it all done in 2 weeks, and maybe in a few weeks' time we can just revisit it. But why should we tithe consistently, purposefully, systematically? Just a quick example. People say, well, I'll give what the Lord says I'll give this month. Most people that I've discovered when I actually talk to them, if you base it around sort of a 10% thing, when they truly add it up, they're nowhere near it, what the Lord felt. Next, at the end of this month, I've informed all your employers that they should give to you how they just feel. So when you go to work, they're going to feel about how they should bless you this month. I hope your boss hears from the Lord. Honestly, I know we laugh about it, but that's what we're really saying. Matthew 23, Jesus endorsed it. I talked about it. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul assumed it. He almost said, hey guys, we're doing this thing. Like, what's the big deal? Do I have to do it? No, you don't have to do it. But neither do you have to keep sex inside a marriage. See how that one works out. It's not mandatory, but there is a blessing attached. See that I will not open the windows of heaven for you. It's not mandatory. You don't have to do it. No animal sacrifices, but we are called to be a living sacrifice. We don't have to do that anymore. Cut some sheep up and that'll be an interesting stage. I'm not quite sure what the school would think about it, but we've been given a living sacrifice. What's really interesting is we dismiss old covenant things for what suits us, but we claim them for what we want. Oh God, your promise says to me in Jeremiah, in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, but I'm not listening to that other scripture in there. So honest, isn't it? We pull. How many promises have you had deposited in your life that come from that time when there was an old covenant established? We claim them, name them, put them on. But when it comes to this, the tithe and the giving, we're like, whoa, hang on a second. Don't want to go there. Because that we move. We're so. Because why? We try and find wiggle room out of this thing. And this is why I'm asking you, wrestle with it. Wrestle with it. Don't just take it. Wrestle with it. And ask yourself, God, what am I leaning towards in this thing? Also, this tithe is really interesting. It actually creates an equal system. Oh, equality? Yeah. God doesn't ask you to give whatever. He says around the tithe is 10% of whatever you receive into your life. That means if you get a tenner, that's a pound. If you get 100, it's 10. If you're the richest person in this room financially, fantastic. It's a tenth of what you receive in your monthly thing. If you're not so rich, then okay, that's okay. It's still a tenth. There's something around that. Is the tenth my legalism thing? Tick. I went through the legalist thing. God, I've given you a tenth. Tick. Holy Spirit came to me and said, that's not generosity. That's your flaw. Stop dwelling in these realms. Come on, Heath. I want you to be generous. We have to plan for generosity. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. For each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Nobody's compulsing you to give. If anybody compulses you to give, then you turn a blind ear. Don't. Decide what's in your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. We read the rest of that scripture. Do you know why else we tithe? What it will do for the work of God. That there may be meat in my house, Malachi says. Substance, fullness. Someone paid the price for us before we sat here. And in 10 years' time, when new people come to Liberty Church, you will have paid the price for them to sit there. Every generation has to pay their price for what the gospel needs to do. We can't live off the coattails of them. Because do you know what happens? We rise as a church like this, and then the next generation doesn't want to pay their price, and we go like this. And somewhere along the line, there's some generation. We should be going from glory to glory. This place shall be full. God has given us a vision for this house amongst a team, not one person. God doesn't download the whole vision to me, a team. And everything that sits in this house is here to fulfill that vision. We all take our place in that vision. If we don't take our place, and there are times that it's tough because we're going through things, we put arms around each other. We say, come on, we can do this. But not for ages and ages, because you need to put your arm around somebody else. But actually, there is a limit on what we will do based on us as a family, if we're prepared to sow into what that vision is. Otherwise, somebody else has got to carry your part of that can. The other thing is we give and sow because what it will do for God in heaven, it honors him. It shows him, God, you're first. Brings him glory. Heath, I struggle because I don't know if I'll have enough money at the end of the month to give. Well, don't give at the end, give at the beginning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I heard a story once and somebody came to me. I want to pose you a scenario. It's a true scenario. He said, this family are going to church. And if they go to church this week and then they give financially and that means next week Sunday, they won't have enough money for the bus. What is more important, that they're in church or that they give? Really interesting how we put these things. No, more important that you give. Because otherwise what you're saying is, I'm not going to give God because I don't believe that you can do anything in this week in order for me to get there then. You actually limit what God wants to do. We actually hold it back. And I will tell you story after story of my own life. Chris got up last week and said, my gosh, when the times were tough, God said, increase giving. That is illogical. It does not make sense. Yeah, but Heath, if I start this, I'm going to have to make sacrifices. Yes, you are. When you came to Jesus, you had to put things down and pick other things up. You don't get to just continue with all this other life. You have to say this. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh. I know somebody who's had to move house because they said, I want to faithfully do this, God. Well, if that's what God's calling you to do, then go for it. because the place you're going to go to is a greater place of blessing. The other thing is what it'll do for you. The Bible says, test me, try me, see what happens. I'm going to pour out my blessing in the natural and for you spiritually. But we make excuses. And we say something like this, well, all the money is the Lord, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not under the law. But I've never heard anybody actually say those statements. And when they're truly honest, say how they are a generous people. I do believe this, and I've checked it out with a few rabbis and a few Greeks, because they're good people. The storehouse described in the scripture is the local church. I do think scripturally that first bit does come into the local house. And I am going to land with this, and I'm sorry I'm a few minutes over, but I really want to bring this because I think it's going to touch you today. These are the solutions few will talk about. Solution number one, if every professing Christian would tithe, every congregation would be free of financial worries and could truly be the salt of the earth. Honestly, the God-planted congregations, there would be this place of absolute flourishing. Everything that is required for ruling and reigning in life, God has and will deposit into our lives. Your vision for your life, He is able. Vision for a church, He will provide. But we, me, Heath, I create blockages. I decide to not bring who I am and what I am to this body. The second solution is the church would make an impact on the world. Instead, the church is walking around in this nation paralyzed. And I'm generalizing as the whole church. Paralyzed. I sat in a meeting the other day and the church is so small thinking. And I'm not against doing things for small and community. And absolutely, I love the heart of we've got to begin in the community. But even in the community, if we can just maybe like, put a flyer in, great. What about imagine if they came in our home and they ate with us and they came to know Jesus and there's people touch that family. If we can just get 100 kids to come to a children's camp from the whole of Wales. No, what about 1,000 kids? What about 10,000 kids? And then we set our processes up of smallness because all we believe is smallness. Yes, be faithful with the small. But we live as if, well, it's never going to happen. What if you start giving and blessing into something that actually you're like, man, I can't see it, but I know it's going to be bigger. This inheritance that this nation is going to receive is because I can't quite see it, but I'm trusting God with His word, and I'm going to deposit. And one day in heaven is your applause, maybe not here on earth. Because as Moon said, if heaven wins, we all win because we're seated in heavenly places. But we would make an impact. Some organizations are tackling injustices and issues that the church should be tackling. But partly we haven't taught this well, we haven't stood up well, and even our finances are flying off down there and everywhere where they should be in the local house. Somebody said, I get to decide where I give. I can give to the dog's home, I can give to the tithe. No, you don't. Scripturally, you don't. Because you know what belongs to the Lord and His house, and if this is your house and where you're fed and where you are nourished and where you are looked after, regardless of how good you think that is right now, if you don't think it's good, then make it better and bring better from yourself. But this is our house. On a pure personal note, your preachers will preach better. Honestly, they will. Because it's not a concern thinking, oh my God, we're on our knees believing for this. Because if God has put us all together, families, there's actually enough in this house to provide for what this house is. Number three, and probably most important, I should have put it first, I think, based on scripture, is that the solution will provide a breakthrough for your own spiritual problems. Have you ever wanted to grow in grace? God, let me grow in grace. You're struggling with the old same trials and temptations. You're suffering from feeling barren. Why is there minimal development, growth, and impact in the kingdom from who I am? One of the big hitches, because Jesus talks more about anything than another subject but money. What are one of the biggest issues in marriage? Money. It's because the big hitch is this: fidelity and the stewardship of finances. I honestly see, after years of counseling and walking through people, there is a big hitch there that is stopping breakthrough in their lives. The biblical way of handling finance, not just giving, but decisions, the use of it, the love of it. The reality is we will all come to this place when God asks, is your wallet saved? Is my wallet saved? He'll ask about our hearts around it. One who is faithful with very little can be faithful with much. And I really am going to finish off because I can sense the Holy Spirit coming through Rachel now. Let me answer a couple of questions just before I read the scripture. 1 Samuel 2:30, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be for me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It doesn't say I'll despise, still be esteemed. I don't know if I want to live in the slightly esteemed place. I want to live in the honored place. 1 Samuel 15:22, and the Lord said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? Asking the question, as actually in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Love that scripture. God's calling us, saying, will you wrestle with these things? Will you wrestle? Couple of questions. Practical. Do I tithe? Do I give on the gross or the net? My gosh, you're getting legalistic again, eh? Give it on the whole. So for me, it's on everything, the gross. Why should I tithe when my tithe is so little? Do you remember the story of Jesus and the widow or the lady in there? He's given more than any of you. He gave two mites. That does not amount to mine. No, because it's a heart thing. And you don't know what she has, and you don't know what she's had to go for, and you don't know what she's believing for, but she sowed everything. And this other guy went like this with the notes. Do you know, it's not about the amount, because it's what God sees you release that He can do it. He can multiply those two mites. He can 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 20,000 people. Come on. And there were still 12 baskets for those unbelieving disciples. The storehouse, it is my church, yes. The tithe does go to where we are fed and plugged in, as far as I can see from Scripture. I've heard this question before. My tithe is so substantial, I would be your best giver. Hallelujah! How the heck do you know that? I've heard this question 5 times. How would you know? Is I replied. But I said, thank you so much, it's amazing. You know what they were actually saying? I'm going to be your best giver. So my suggestion on how we do the church is, I have no clue who gives what. The only time I ask Chris is if you want to step into a place of leadership. Are you consistent? Do you give according to what is maybe established around what you do? Because if you're not, how can you lead? How can we do that? I can't afford to tithe, is the other thing. Well, if you are serious about being a child of God, then it's time to sit down and make some changes. Most of the time, it's not a case of I can't. It's actually rather, I don't really want to sort some stuff out. The stewardship of what we have. I'm tempted to keep giving away this money or using it for other things. Be accountable to somebody. If that's where you're at, in my first few years as a teenager and that, I was accountable to somebody. I said, won't you be accountable to me around my giving? They, yeah, it's fine. It's no problem. I'm accountable around that. Should my kids give? Well, if they get a bit of pocket money and increase, why not? We have a little ABC at home. A is for giving, B is for saving, C is for, I can't think of the other one, spending. So they put in their 3 little pots. You know, sometimes Noah comes to me the other week, he says, I don't want to do just the tithe of this. I want to bless somebody with it all. I'm like, that's up to you, buddy. Bless your soul for doing that. Does this not smell of legalism? Of course there's a danger of being legalistic. In all things there is. Tithing does not count for righteousness. It's a response of thankfulness. and an acknowledgement of God's provision and His word. Let me ask you this question. Would you say it is legalistic if your husband or wife were to act flippantly with another man or woman? Not sure you would want that. So is he or she being legalistic to be careful as well as faithful? Well, you're a bit legalistic about telling me that you're calling this other person. You're a bit legalistic of thinking about should you go out for a coffee with the opposite sex. No, it's not legalistic. It's protection. It's faithfulness. For us in our home, before we do anything else, pay any bill, we sow financially. I'm not governed by fear, but I'm motivated from a revelation of what Jesus has done in my life. And time again, God says, test me, and He's come through. There is more. And I can, on the website, I can show you some books to read, which might help, direct you in some places and have some notes. But how can we help? Three things. We're going to do a three-week course on biblical stewardship of finances. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be a part of it, be a part of it. It's not saying you're rubbish. It's just saying, there's more to learn. Maybe there's something I can look at. We don't do parenting courses because we have rubbish parents. I need a parenting course. When it comes to my kids becoming teenagers, I may have been a youth worker. I don't have a clue in some senses. So if there is something on, I'm going. I go to Bible studies. If I was not that, and I said, you know what, I'm a minister. I know everything. No, I go to learn. Why do you want to go on a stewardship course? Because if you do start to steward things that God, the way God wants and adjust, you're in for flourishing. Do you go because of a blessing? Absolutely. Why are you saved? So you don't go to hell. It's a blessing. Come on. I don't do things because of blessing. Well, you did. We do. There's only so much time we go on when actually, like, there's a good thing. God said, God, I'm going to bless you. God does not have to attach blessing to His promises, but He does. He doesn't. He doesn't have to because He's done enough, but He does. So we're going to do a three-week course. If you feel like, actually, there's some, I want perspective. We have Chris and we have Byron. And they have walked a stewardship. And there's others, but these would be the main people we'd point you towards. Who can actually sit down with you and go through your finances with you. Not the numbers, the principles. So you don't have to bare your bank accounts and go, well, here it is. Because that's hard, man. It's personal. But we got to get over that as well. But they can actually sit down and go, these are the principles. You see, I don't want this to be a teaching. I want this to be practical. I want us to actually be able to flourish in this. Well, we don't talk about our finances with anybody. Well, do you know what? Get over that. And actually, let's start to be accountable with one another. We don't talk about our marriage. We'll get over that one as well. You know, talk about it on Facebook. He did not do the dishes this morning. But we want to help practically. If you're stuck in a debt and you really want to get out of it and you've been there 10 years and there's no plan, well, you would have got out of it if you could have. But you need somebody to come in and say, let me give you perspective. Let's put a plan. The longer you stay in it, it will take more time to come out of it. But God is also able to do a miracle, which I've seen time and time again. And the third thing, the absolute goal is for each one of us. My heart for this church is to live set free, flourishing, blessed, and blessing others. I am not interested in how much or whatever we got. Because do you know what? If God releases you and He blesses you in an area, He's actually setting you up to bless something else. He's not there with the parable going, man, I got so much grain. Let's build bigger barns so I can have more. And then I can kick back. It's not generally how I see God. He blesses us to be a blessing. Somebody once said, if He can get it through you, He can get it to you. If you become the vessel it flows through, God will keep on blessing you. I watched this one guy once, and I am going to finish with this because 23 minutes passed, and I've been ages. I watched this one guy. He just was a guy of blessing. I met him once, and he had this Rolex watch on, and he just gave it to this guy. And I'm like, what the heck? Then he gave away his Rolls Royce. What are you doing, buddy? Like, this is a nice car. Do you know what? Next week, he got a better watch, and he got another car. But you would walk past him in the street, and he wasn't even as dressed as good as I am. He was just badly dressed. But somehow God managed to make him a vessel of overflow and blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to be that vessel. I would love to be that guy who blesses people. Amen. But God says, Heath, you're going to be faithful to what I've given you. Don't misinterpret the scripture and chuck things out because we think they're the law. Come on, we need the whole Bible, all counsel. Can't claim the promises of God from the old if you're not going to walk through everything. God, I don't want that, but I do want that. And also don't, some of you, I heard somebody say the other day, oh man, if I don't give right and I lie about it, I am Ananias and Sapphira, I am in the grave dead. Boom! Please don't do that, okay? Because we don't have a church to do funerals at the moment. But Dad, come on, let's not make doctrines out of one moment. But I believe there is a greater flourishing here. Wrestle with these things. And even if you are in that place, like, well, I'm consistent, ask God. Say, God, I want to be generous in other areas. What is it, God? Maybe there's an increase. Maybe there's a sowing into a family. I don't know. There's many ways. But one of those things is our money. Why don't you stand with me? If you want to chat through this, I'm happy to chat through with it. I've wrestled with this. I've gone from side to side with it, back and forth. I've heard all the stuff. But I stand on the conviction of what God has done in my life and what I know through the scriptures. I just feel like I just want to pray for you right now before we sing. If you feel God's just challenging you and just, maybe not even just this area, but just a generous heart, good stewardship, just place your hand on your heart right now. And you just begin to pray and say, God, I want to be determined. I don't pursue your ways. So Father, right now, I pray your hand over each one of us. I pray, God, with those with their hands on their hearts, Father, that they truly plug into the ways of you. And Father, I am not unaware that there are many situations sitting in this church. There may be couples in here whose husband or wife is not a believer. And I know that, and that they've got a journey with God. That is not an easy place to be. But Father, I pray you give them grace in that place. Lord, that maybe they are subject to some other decisions around the home. But you see that and you also honor that, God. So, Father, we're not standing here with some sort of rod. We're inviting people to walk in a place of freedom. God, I pray generosity over this church. I pray, God, that we will be a house that sows and sows and sows, and we may never see the fruit of our sowing. But God, there will be generations that will reap and they will never know that it was that person, that lady, that man in Liberty Church. But heaven knows. And so God, as we walk in this, open the windows of heaven. I thank you that your promises said this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've come today and it's your first time here and you think, I've just heard a message about money. Like I thought I was going to hear about Jesus. I tell you what, Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. He didn't mind 10%, 15%. He gave 100%. And he said, if it was only for you, I'll give it. And he laid down his whole life. Maybe today you want to give your heart to Jesus and say, nobody's ever laid down their whole life for me. If that's you, won't you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Heath. I just want to give my life to him today. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.